If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to Joshua chapter 3. We began studying this morning from the third chapter of Joshua, trying to look primarily this morning at the fact that the children of Israel, as they were going into the land of Canaan, they were going to a place that they had never been to before. And as we go through this coming year, we're going in uncharted territory. We're going in directions that we have never been before. Just as when God called Abraham to go out to a place, he was going to a place not knowing where he went. And I pray that God will help us, even though we don't know what this coming year holds, that God will help us to trust in God and depend on God no matter what we face during this coming year. Tonight I would like to ask that we begin in Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 and read through the end of the chapter. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth at all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." If correctly read, that's Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's Word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the One who is all-powerful and all-wise, the One that spoke this world into existence, and the One who will bring it to a close. And we're thankful that just as you led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, we're thankful that you will lead us, guide us, and direct us, that you will strengthen us, that you'll feed us, and you'll take care of us if we do follow your word, and if we sanctify ourselves, and if we're what we ought to be, that you'll bless us beyond measure, that we'll see the wonders of the Lord, and we'll be amazed at the mighty power of God working in our lives if we'll walk by faith and live by faith. We pray that you would help us to be what we ought to be, that you would help us to be children of God that let our light shine before men. They would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, we know that we need thee every moment of every hour. We pray especially that you would bless us in this hour and every time we come into thy house, that thou would bless us to be able to hear and understand and believe and obey the word of God. May thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Lord, we do beg thee as the great physician to touch those that are sick and afflicted. We pray that thou would strengthen them and lift them up, and that you would give them the courage that they need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might amidst all their troubles and problems in life. And don't only bless those that are sick, but bless their families. Give them the strength and the grace that they need each day. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Bless the family and friends of those that have gone home to be with thee. Give them a special measure of thy grace, and give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The families that are having trouble, we ask you to help and bless and guide and direct in each of those situations. We pray that you would help us all, every one of us here. Help us, Lord, to pray one for another. Help us to be concerned about one another. Help us all to be touched with the burdens that other people have. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of the one who is the head of the church, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, beginning just with the 17th verse, there's the main thought that's on my heart. The Word of God says, "And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were clean passed over Jordan." I want us to think primarily about the expression that's used there where the Word of God says that the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. They stood firm on dry ground. I want you to remember that when they came up to the Jordan River, that the Jordan River was still, it was overflowing its banks. That's what the Word of God tells us in the previous verses, is that at this time of the year that they were crossing the Jordan River, that the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. It was the time of harvest. And the river was high, and even as they began to walk forward, the river was still flowing. But when the soles of the feet of those priests, as they began to walk out into the water, I want you to think about the tremendous faith that those people had, the priests had, that they were bearing the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to think about the tremendous amount of faith they had to go forward with that river flowing, that they went forward stepping out on that water. And as the soles of their feet touched the water, it was then that the water began to pile up. And the Bible says that the water went up very high, and then it talks about how from there on down to the Dead Sea that everything was just dried up. And I want you to think about how those priests, the Word of God says that they stood firm on dry ground. Now, if you're walking out into the river, even if the river dried up, even if the river were to pile up like it did with them, I want you to picture what kind of mud would be there as you walk down into that water. It would not be dry ground unless God performed a miracle. And I want you to think about how that earlier, like we read this morning, that God had promised them that if they would follow the Ark of the Covenant and if they would sanctify themselves, the Word of God says in verse 5 that they would, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that's what we're reading about right here. We're talking about the Lord doing wonders among the people. The marvelous thing was that God stopped that Jordan River. The marvelous thing was that when the river stopped and the waters began to pile up, the marvelous thing is that the Word of God says that there was dry ground in that river. And the Word of God says that those priests stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And I want us to think about how in our lives, just as these priests that were bearing the Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God tells us, you might say, well, I'm not the preacher. We're talking about preachers. No, we're not talking about preachers. We're talking about priests. And if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight, you'll see that you are a priest. God has made you kings and priests. Let's turn and look at that, please, in Revelation chapter 1. You'll see that you are a priest. And just as these priests that were bearing the Ark of the Covenant, you as children of God who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you have been made kings and priests. And just as those priests were bearing the Ark of the Covenant, you as a priest of God, you're supposed to be bearing or carrying the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 1, notice please verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. We're trying to look right now that not only those priests back there in Joshua chapter 3 verse 17, not only did they stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, but you as a priest of God, you can stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, no matter how swelling the rivers are, the rivers of evil and the rivers of sin, no matter how fast they're flowing, no matter how strong the tide is against the Word of God and the people of God. If you'll stand fast on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, you can stop that flow and tide. Did you know there's an evil tide in America today? When you think about our great nation, how God has spared us. He's been merciful to us. But listen, brethren, God will not continue to spare a nation that turns her back on God. And unless we stand firm in the midst of Jordan, in the midst of the rivers of evil that are trying to overflow us, unless we're willing to stand firm in the midst of those Jordan rivers, unless we're willing to walk by faith and trust in God, the rivers, the tide, are going to overflow. The rivers of evil, the waters of evil, are going to overflow and flood the United States of America. The only thing that will stop it is the power of God. And the only thing that will move the power of God to stop it is when the people of God, the priests of God, when they'll walk forward in the midst of that Jordan and they'll begin to do what God tells them to do. If they'll hold the Ark of the Covenant and walk forward in the midst of that evil, God will cause the evil to stand up. Listen now, in Revelation chapter 1, I want you to see that you're priests. You all, as children of God, you are priests that ought to be bearing the Ark of the Covenant or holding forth the Word of God. Revelation chapter 1, listen please to verses 5 and 6. The Word of God says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is faithful, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and hath made," listen carefully now, what has He done for us? He has washed us. The Word of God says He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And what's the thing He says in verse 6? And hath made us what? Kings and what? Priests. God has made. Who is it that has been made kings and priests? Those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God has made us kings and priests. Not is going to make us kings and priests when we get to heaven. God has made us already as redeemed children of God who have been quickened by the power of the Spirit of God. God has made us today kings and priests. And so He says that God hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God has made you a king and a priest. And that doesn't mean you're greater than the King of Kings. See, Jesus is called what? He's the King of what? The King of Kings. Has God made you kings? Has God made you kings? Yes, you're kings. But Jesus is the King of Kings. Has God made you a priest? Yes, He has. But who is Jesus Christ? He's the great high priest. He's over all the other priests. He is the head of all. Nevertheless, I don't want you to forget the fact that God has not only loved you and redeemed you, but God has made you kings and priests in the earth. You're a priest and you're a king. And as a priest, you have the same responsibility as kings and priests. You have the same responsibility that those priests back there in Joshua chapter 3 had. That is, you have the responsibility to carry the Word of God. Not only carry, I'm not talking about just going around with a Bible in your hand, but you're to carry the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. You're to read and study, and you're to know what the Word of God says. And you're to go forth with the Word of God amidst all kinds of ungodliness and all kinds of false teachings. You have the responsibility as kings and priests to go forth amidst that river of evil and false doctrine. Go forth with the Word of God. Hold the Word of God. Bear the Ark of the Covenant and walk forward. And what will happen? That's the only way that evil will ever stop, is if you and I as kings and priests begin to go forward. You know, we had a meeting yesterday in Hortense. I was asked to preach down there at Hortense yesterday. We had a community-wide brotherhood meeting down there, and I felt great liberty in preaching. But one of the men down there, he just began to talk to me about all the things that are going wrong in the church. And he just began to enumerate one thing after another that was wrong in the church. And everything he talked about, he was right on target. He said, "Did you know the Bible says," and he began to talk about one thing after another. And everything he talked about, he says, in our church, he was talking about the church of his membership. He said, in our church, we're not doing what God's Word says to do. And I told him, I said, "Well, you have a responsibility to fix that problem." He said that he was chairman of the deacons. I said, as chairman of the deacons, or just as a member of the church, you have a responsibility to stand up in conference and stand up in church and say, "This is what God's Word says, and we're not following God's Word, and we must get back to the Word of God." Now that's the responsibility that we all have. And us, as kings and priests, doing that today, is no less, it takes no less faith to do that today than it took for those priests back there in Joshua 3:17 to walk forward in the midst of that river and to hold fast and hold up the Word of God. It is a dangerous thing to stand up for what's right. Did you know that? It is a frightening thing to stand up for what's right. It is just as frightening to stand up for what's right in your personal life, in your home, in your family, and in the church, and in our nation. It's just as frightening as it was for those priests back then, Joshua 3:17, to walk out in that Jordan River. Do you ever feel like you're sinking in the mud? You ever feel like you're going down? You ever feel like the river's just going to just flow over you? Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to cry unto the Lord, because the Lord can make that dry ground. And if you stand on anything, I thought about this song just now. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I want you to think about that. That songwriter expressed that there's only one way to stand. Those priests back there in Joshua 3:17, the Bible says they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. How did they do that? Because the power of God was upholding them. God worked great wonders in their life. God worked great miracles in their lives because they walked by faith and trusted in God and carried forth the Word of God. And when you and I do that in our lives, God will help us and will bless us. Can you think about some great soldiers of Jesus Christ in the Word of God? Can you think about great soldiers of Jesus Christ that carried forth and stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan? Can you think about anybody in God's Word that in the midst of all kinds of evil and ungodliness, false doctrine and corruption, can you think about anybody in God's Word besides those priests back there in Joshua 3:17? Can you think about any other great saints of God that have stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan? Name somebody that you know that did that. All right, Elijah did. Somebody else said what? Stephen did. Somebody else said what? Paul did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible is full of people that have done what? They have stood firm. I'll tell you, one of the most horrible things in the world is for people to be cowards. Cowards. Lukewarm. If you don't stand firm, if you're not going to stand up for what's right, get out of the army of God. Just stop pretending. Because there's no room in the army of God for cowards. That will cause other people to fear. Gideon's army, whenever they began with that army, you remember how many? I think they had 32,000. And he told everybody that's afraid, just go home. I think there were 22,000 that went home right then. Well, that was good. That was good for the ones that were left. And then he said, now, go down and drink out of the river. Now, the only ones that could stay were those that there was a particular thing that was recognized there, and there were only 300 soldiers left. Now, if you had been one of those 300, would you have wanted those other 31,700? Would you have wanted those other 31,700 back? I would have, sure. That's what we would have wanted. We think that we have power when we have more people, don't we? But that's not true. When is it that you have power? You have power when you have saints of God that are holding forth the Word of God and they're standing firm on dry ground. I want you to notice this picture. That back there in Joshua 3:17, did you know that all the rest of the children of Israel, they were able to go through on dry ground because there were some that were willing to hold forth the Word of God. Do you follow that? And I believe with all of my heart, it doesn't have to be preachers. I believe that we have saints of God in this church that are willing to stand firm on dry ground. And if you will just stand firm on dry ground, you'll find other children of God. Though they're not holding forth the Word of God in their lives, you'll find other children of God that will follow you and that will walk through that Jordan River and will stand with you if you'll just get up off your lazy chair and start standing. Stand. Stand up. Do what's right. Stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Have you ever stood? Have you ever stood up for what was right? And have you ever found great joy and peace in your soul when you stood up for what was right? You know, the Bible says this. We're talking about being standing firm on dry ground. The Bible says in James 1 verse 8, the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable. in all his ways. You think about the difference in being unstable versus those priests that stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. You know, there are some preachers and there are some Christians that they'll tell you one thing to your face and something else behind your back. Did you know that? There are a lot of preachers. They'll say, oh yes, I'll stand. I'll stand with you. You stand up for what's right. I'll stand with you. And you stand up for what's right. And you know what'll happen? You look back and you find out you've been completely abandoned. They'll treat you just like David did whenever he wanted Uriah the Hittite killed. And he put Uriah the Hittite out there in the front lines of combat and then told the rest of the army to abandon him out there. There are a lot of unsound soldiers in the army of God. There are a lot of soldiers out there. There are a lot of pretend soldiers. There are a lot of, somebody called them one time, parade soldiers. You know what a parade soldier is? You have a parade. There are all kinds of people that will walk around with uniforms on and pretend like they're soldiers. But we're talking about foot soldiers. We're talking about soldiers that are willing to stand against evil. And the only way you as a soldier, the only way you as a Christian, the only way you as a priest can stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan is if God holds you up. And God will hold you up if you'll do two things. What did we study this morning? If you'll, what's the first thing? Follow the Word of God, follow the Ark of the Covenant, and sanctify yourselves. If you'll do that, you'll be able to stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about trying to stand firm. Have you ever been wishy-washy on what's right and what's wrong? Have you ever been wishy-washy on what's truth and what's error? Have you ever been where you just couldn't stand firm because you just didn't even know what truth was? Well, don't ever use that as an excuse. We're without excuse. Did you know that? There's no excuse for us not to know what the Word of God teaches. If you can read, then you have been, and you've got a Bible, you ought to know what the Word of God says. You ought to know what's right and what's wrong. And you ought to never compromise on what's right and what's wrong. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're talking about standing firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. We're talking about not being unstable, but being stable. We're talking about people really being willing to stand up. In Ephesians chapter 6, listen please, beginning in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6. Do these children, do they need to learn to stand up for what's right? Do they need to learn to stand up for what's right? Yes, they do. I'm thankful that some of our young people are doing an outstanding job of standing up for what's right. I'm thankful that we've got some young people that are going to dress like God would have them dress. They're going to walk like God would have them walk. They're going to talk like God would have them talk. They're going to stand up for what's right. It's a great blessing to see some good young soldiers of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, here's what we have to do to be able to stand. If you want to be a priest like those priests in Joshua chapter 3 verse 17, if you want to be a priest that will stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, you're going to have to do what Paul exhorted the saints of God at Ephesus to do in Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 14. Here's how you can stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren," listen carefully, "finally, my brethren, be strong," how? "In the Lord." There's no other way for you to be strong. You try anything else, you'll fail, you'll fall. Those priests back there in Joshua 3:17, if they thought they could stand, if they thought they could even walk forward, I believe with all my heart those priests believed that when they walked forward, God was going to stop that river. They didn't think they were going to float away. They didn't think they were going to be washed away. Because God had sent them in that direction. They were doing what God told them to do. And they went forward with great confidence that God was going to perform a miracle and help them in that trouble. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to" what? "That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You know what that river Jordan represents over there in Joshua chapter 3 verse 17? It represents the wiles of the devil. It represents all kinds of evil that the devil is bringing on our nation and into our city and our government and into the churches. The devil is attacking on every hand, and it's up to you as the priest of God to stand firm on dry ground, holding up the covenant, the Word of God, holding up the Ark of the Covenant, holding up the Word of God, and that's the only thing that'll ever stop it. The Word of God says, "Stand that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Did you know we have spiritual wickedness in high places in our government today? Did you know we have spiritual wickedness in high places in many churches today? Spiritual wickedness. The devil is ruling many people and many organizations and many places. But it's up to you and me to stand firm on dry ground in the midst of all that opposition. He says in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand." And then the next verse he says, "Stand therefore." And then he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. It's important that we stand. Now let me just say one other thing, and I want to close right here, but I want you to follow this in Ephesians chapter 4. What is it that strengthens you? Did you know that I have a responsibility to help? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. It's your responsibility to get equipped, but it is my responsibility, it is part of my responsibility, is to help get you equipped to be able to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to follow this in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 beginning in verse 11. The Word of God talks about how one of the functions of the church is to equip the people of God so that they will no longer be weak priests, but so they'll be strong priests. So they'll no longer be priests that are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Did you know we have a lot of churches today? One preacher can stand up and preach one thing, and everybody will say, "Oh, that's good, that's wonderful," and they'll believe what he says. Another preacher can come along and preach something completely different, and they'll say, "Oh, that's good, that's wonderful," and they'll follow what he says. Do you know why people are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? It's because they've never learned what God said in His Word. They're not holding forth the Word of God. And I believe with all of my heart, brethren, if you'll begin to stand up for what's right, if you'll take the Word of God and stand where God would have you to stand, we can turn the tide of the Jordan River that's overflowing our nation. You might say, "Well, it's too big." Don't tell me it's too big for God. God can turn anything around. It's too big for me and it's too big for you, but it's not too big for God. If you want to ever see the power of God, you want to see the wonders of God, you start to do something that you can't do by yourself. And that's what we're talking about doing, is doing something we can't do by ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 4, listen, beginning in verse 11, talking about the church. Ephesians 4, beginning verse 11, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, why has He given all these people in the church? Why is He given these different gifts in the church? He says in verse 12, for the what? "For the perfecting of the saints." Did you know I'm trying to perfect you? You know, some of you say, "Well, you're never satisfied." Well, that's right. I'm never satisfied. You come Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'm still not satisfied. You get out and visit, I'm still not satisfied. And I'm not satisfied with me, and I'm not satisfied with you. Do you know why? Because I want you perfect. That's what I want. I want us to be perfect. Perfect. He's given these pastors and teachers and all of these men in the church, He's given those things for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why does the body of Christ need to be edified? Why do you need to know what the truth is? Why do you need to be established in the truth? Why do you need to know exactly what the truth is in the Word of God? It's so that you'll be able to hold the Ark of the Covenant, to stand fast on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. You need to be able to give a "Thus saith the Lord" for anything you're standing on. Doesn't matter what you think or I think or you believe or I believe. It does matter what God says in His Word. And if you can't give a "Thus saith the Lord" for what we believe, you just keep your mouth shut. Just sit down. Because you'll do more harm than good. You might say, well, I don't understand everything, so I'll just sit down. No, don't you sit down. That's not acceptable to God. You sit down, you've given up, and God's judgments will come on you because you've been called to be a priest and a king. You've been called to be a soldier. And God's not going to let you sit down without you experiencing great judgment in your life. Don't take the fact that you don't know everything as an excuse for not standing up. You take whatever you know and you stand up and you keep studying until you know and keep knowing and keep learning, and God will help you to be able to stand. So he says he's given all these people for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen to verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's as good as you can get. Did you know that? That's what he's shooting for. That's the mark he's shooting for. And then he says that we henceforth, listen to verse 14 in closing, that we henceforth be no more children. I don't want any children. Now, do you understand how he's using the word children here? How is he using the word children here? See, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians, I believe, the Word of God says, in malice be ye what? Be ye children. In malice be children. You know what that means? You watch children when they get mad. You know what they do? They get over it quick. He says, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And that's what we need. We need men of understanding so that we can stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I pray that God will help all of us tonight to realize the great responsibility we have as kings and priests. God's called you to be a king and a priest and to stand firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. May God help you and help me to stand. Put on the whole armor of God that we'll be able to stand is my prayer for Christ's sake.